Festival of Friendship later tonight.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Oh, try to contain yourself.
Shut up,
Corey.
Saxton! Don't ruin this for me! Good God in heaven, she has arrived!
Finally.
For 17 weeks, you have waited for the makeover of Emma to Emelina. Well, here I am.
There she is.
And now, you'll see the makeover from Emelina to Emma.
What?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the European Uppercut Podcast here on the Trending Topics Network, episode 124. My name is Kieran Tuttiot, and I'm riding solo today. Sorry, guys and gals, but needs must, I'm afraid. Everybody's busy. I've been having computer technical problems, and it's just been a bit of a burden, if I'm honest with you. A burden on my stress levels rather than a burden to record this. And I do mean that because it's more interesting to you talking about pro wrestling than anything else. Certainly in this day and age, as we're on the road to WrestleMania 33, even though sadly the WWE don't call it the 33 anymore, do they? Just say WrestleMania. I don't know what I think about that, you know, off the go here now, because I feel like it, obviously it makes sense for them to just say WrestleMania because it's easier to remember rather than having to remember 33 all the time. But I think it's, there's a bit of a meaning of the nostalgia, the history to it, knowing that WrestleMania has been going on for 33 years. And that's quite something interesting and nostalgic to say. But I know I might be on the minority of that. But obviously, it's lovely to have you here. the living legend, Kai, Adam and PK all send their love. But yes, it's just me this week. And we're going to have a look at the Elimination Chamber that took place last Sunday, which was quite a good show, actually. Not all the way through, I probably would say. But on the 12th of February, we were treated with an amazing result. Amazing results across the board, mostly, really. And a fantastic payoff. So I think we can be particularly proud and happy that we got a pretty decent pay-per-view out of it as well. And the fact that we're getting so many different pay-per-views every so often now is starting to get a little bit, you know, boring. So we needed to ramp it up a little bit. And I think the WWE and the SmackDown brand certainly gave us a bit of improvement and a bit of spectacle for the second pay-per-view of 2017. Yes, I think it is, actually. Yes. So there you go. So this week, we got emails, we got the news, we'll take a look at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, and we'll have a look at the picks and see how we've done. We'll have a little bit of final thoughts and talking about Raw, and then we'll be off-ski. So we won't keep you too long. But welcome to the European Uppercut Podcast.
This is a Honky Tonk Man, the greatest WWE Intercontinental Champion of all time, and you're listening to the European Uppercut on the Trending Topics Network.
I'm just a Honky Tonk Man. I'm cool. I'm cocky. I'm blah 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 blah.
Hell yeah. Yeah, baby, the Honky Tonk Man. Oh, what a great... I just love hearing that every so often. Righty-ho. Now it's time for us to go into the emails. And thank you very much to everybody who emailed us. We really appreciate every single time we hear from you. So remember, you can email us on a weekly basis. And our email is eurouppercut@gmail.com. It'd be wonderful to hear from you. Right, our first email comes from GBL. Thank you very much, GBL, for your request. No, it's your email. Sorry, I'm in other podcast form. Reverse, Kieran, reverse. Right, okay. Okay, right. GBL says, what's up, European uppercutters? Well, not much, GBL. Apologies for the echo, but I'm very happy, thank you. Jeebs checking in with a quick question coming out of Elimination Chamber. Okay. So, Dolph broke Apollo Crews' ankle after the pay-per-view match, and the crowd chanted, thank you, Ziggler. I know, I couldn't stop laughing. Oh, it's such a badly booked match. It's ridiculous. Do you think an injury absence, then return, with a chip on his shoulder, similar to when The Rock in his early in his career, will help or hinder Apollo Crews? Apollo could use to thank Dolph, the thank you Dolph Ziggler chance to fuel him in much the way that The Rock used the Die Rocky Die chance. Thanks as always for the podcast, and I look forward to hearing your thoughts. Later is Jeebs. Jeebs, thank you very much. Lovely to hear from you right across the other side of the world. And Jeebs, this is a really good question. Will it help or hinder Apollo Crews after being annihilated by Ziggler after the match? Well, I think it's only going to help him, mate. There is no other way out of this, I don't think, rather than turning Apollo heel, because he is nothing, absolutely nothing, since he's come out of NXT. I think he should have stayed down at NXT, maybe for another 6 months to a year, building his character, getting that response from the crowd, and basically trying to sort out his character, you know, getting that response. And I think that was really missed by the WWE, just trying to shove him up into the main roster and see if he sticks. Now, there is no doubt ever that his in-ring work is bad, because it's certainly not. It's very, very good. So I think Apollo just needs to work on his character. And as soon as he starts working on his character, which is heel, if he has a heel persona, will end up having a large amount of character going as a heel. You could do more as a heel, as a face, as we all know. That will only help him going forward. Otherwise, Apollo Crews is one of the first people I would put maybe on the future endeavors list, whenever that may happen. We'll have to wait and see, won't we? But now, actually, try not to get political, but now Linda McMahon is now in Trump's administration, and her focus is creating jobs. For that to be looked in the WWE, and they're going to make, you know, if they make any redundancies or anything like that, then I think that would be bad publicity for Linda McMahon and the McMahons themselves. So that's a point to probably consider. But a very good analogy. As we know, the Rock had lots of issues at the end of 96 and into 97 as he was being booked as a babyface. Yeah, they gave him the Intercontinental Championship after beating Triple H on Raw, and then going through WrestleMania against the Sultan, aka Rikishi at the time, in a mask, and having Bob Backlund and the Iron Sheik around him, that you would think that that would try and emote some type of a babyface reaction from the crowd. The crowd would only chant for The Rock when it suited them, you know, in a marquee crowd. But at WrestleMania, they had to bring in Rocky Johnson, because people knew Rocky Johnson back then in 97. Some people do now, but probably more so back then, because he only left the WWF at the time. I think it was only about 10 years previously, in 87 maybe, when he was about. And then he obviously retired and stuff. But that's what I see. And they had to use that for that. But then making The Rock join The Nation, perfect. And look what happened then. He was running up in the Royal Rumble in 98. He went to win his first championship against Mankind at the Survivor Series in 98 in the Deadly Game Tournament. So it just, it's a good, you know, turnaround for him. And it really, really did work. So I don't think it's a bad thing at all. So thank you, GBL, for your email. We'll have the news from GBL coming up very shortly. Next up is our next email. It's from Mr. Fourth Row. So he says, hey, once again, Mr. Fourth Row chiming in. So my question this week is, if you ever felt like the WWE has trolled you? For me, this past week, I felt like I could draw that conclusion when the New Day had ice cream plans ripped up by Bo Dallas on Raw. As you may remember, I mentioned it 2 weeks ago about the ice cream bars. Now I know what the hell happened. To the WWE ice cream bars. Once again, that's my view, not from the cheap seats, not from the most expensive seats, but from the fourth row. Mr. Fourth Row, thank you very much indeed. Lovely to hear from you. Yes, they are trolling us. Unless the New Day try and end up having a six-person tag team match at WrestleMania with another group, a six-man group of some sort, and they try and break the most people in attendance at an event eating ice cream at the same time in Orlando, which was possible, I think, then it's fine. I wouldn't mind it. But they've been teasing us for this for a while, as you quite rightly say. And to be honest, I found it annoying too. It is trolling. And it's also, admitting a reaction from us more intelligent wrestling fans who remember when CM Punk was wanting ice cream bars. So, you know, that's what you get. So these things do happen, I'm afraid. But, yeah, I feel like they're trolling us half the time anyway. But, never mind. Right, for anybody, our next email comes from a gentleman called Jeff B. And, basically, he's been advertising with us and wants to get the point across. Anybody going to WrestleMania weekend? There are some wrestling events taking place which he would like to get your attention about. It's Fight Evolution Wrestling will be hosting a wrestling party. With the seven live events at the Pre-Mania 33 at downtown Orlando's reception complex on Thursday, April the 30th to Saturday, April the 1st, 2017. There's all sorts of things going on, but if you guys and gals would want to go and check this out, it's got various other professional wrestlers going there, including this year's Hall of Famer, Teddy Long. He's going to be there, including Gangrel, the Headbangers, Crime Time, Too Cold Scorpio. Go to meet Too Cold Scorpio. Oh, now that would be amazing. Or Flash Funk. You know, that is so cool. Just worth the price of admission, really. Same for me. Also, Ron Simmons, also a Farouk, you know, Kevin Sullivan, all sorts are going to be there. So, guys and girls, get yourselves to www.fightingevolutionwrestling.com. Alrighty ho. Right, okay. And that's about it for the emails this week, I believe. Let me just check as I'm here on my own. It's scary stuff, but it's all fun. Right, yes, that is your emails for this week. Again, if you want to get in contact with us, get an email read out. We'll answer your questions. And I promise there'll be more than just me next week. You can email us eurouppercut@gmail.com. And it's now time to go to the ITV Television Centre for the news, with GBL coming from New Zealand.
It's time for the Nutso Knockout News!
Hello and welcome to the Nutso Knockout News, the New Zealand edition. The wrestling world was saddened this week to learn that Chavo Guerrero Sr., the legendary wrestler, brother of WWE Hall of Famer Eddie Guerrero and father of Chavo Guerrero Jr., passed away at age 68. Some may remember him from his run in WWE in 2004, where he became the oldest superstar to win the original Cruiserweight title. Our condolences go out to the Guerrero family at this time. Former WWE Diva Search contestant and Total Divas star Rosa Mendez took to Instagram to announce her retirement from WWE on Monday. Rosa gave birth to her first child last year and has been busy working on her Totally Fit Mama lifestyle brand. She has not wrestled a match since April 18, 2015. She first signed her developmental contract back in 2006. WWE Hall of Famer Hulk Hogan expected to return to WWE sooner rather than later, according to Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer newsletter. Hogan has been away from the company since his racist comments scandal in the summer of 2015, but it was reported months ago that the two sides were working on how they could move forward together following Hogan winning his court battle with Gorka. Kane missing this year's Royal Rumble match had a lot of fans speculating on his status, but the Wrestling Observer newsletter reports that he's been out of action with a variety of nagging injuries of late. Kane last appeared on TV for the November 29th SmackDown episode, in which he had a win over Luke Harper. His last match came on December 5th at a WWE live event in Tyler, Texas, a six-man tag win with American Alpha over the Wyatt family. WWE announced on Monday that Teddy Long would be joining the 2017 WWE Hall of Fame class, which includes Kurt Angle and the Rock and Roll Express. Contenders Clothing, the men's active lifestyle apparel company, has partnered with WWE to create a co-branded exclusive collection of WWE-inspired boxer briefs called WWE Contenders Collection. Contenders is the first to create unique and exciting licensed boxer briefs in conjunction with WWE. The WWE Contenders Collection includes both adult and youth-sized boxer briefs that feature WWE superstars and legends, including John Cena, Roman Reigns, AJ Styles, and Dean Ambrose, with Hall of Famers The Macho Man Randy Savage, Ric Flair, and Stone Cold Steve Austin. The collection will be available for pre-order at Magic, February 21-23 in Las Vegas. And celebrating birthdays this week, Rich Swann is 26.
How you doing?
The Perfect 10, Ty Dillinger, is 36.
How you doing?
And Gangrel is 48.
How you doing?
And that'll do it for this week's Not-So-Knockout News.
Gross.
I love Family Guy. Thank you for that, Jeebs. You're a star, man. You're a star, like a shining star. Shine bright like a diamond. Right, that's enough of me singing. Great news. Thank you very much, Jeebs. And let's just have a quick review through that. Chavo Classic passing away. Rest in peace to you. Great little run there he had in 2004 with Chavo and becoming the Chavo Jr., and becoming the Cruiserweight champion, the oldest Cruiserweight champion ever in history. So that was always good. But I didn't realise that Chavo Classic was Eddie Guerrero's brother. I didn't know that. But yeah, I realise now that they used to call each other nephew, didn't they? Chavo and Eddie. So there you go. Also, Rosa Mendez retiring. Well, when was the she last on TV? As Jeep said, it was in 2015. So, I don't have much thought to that. But I wish her all the best of luck in her future endeavours. I've always wanted to say that. Hulk Hogan returning? Well, that's not a surprise, is it really? We're bound to see that at some point, I'm sure, after he won his legal case and won everything, didn't he, really? He was found to be in good stead. So, to be honest with you, it would be nice to see Hogan again in a weird type of way. Also, Kane has got a bit of an injury. It's quite of a shock that he wasn't in the Royal Rumble, to be perfectly honest. But if he's got these nagging injuries, it's a bit of a shame. And it's the first Royal Rumble that Kane's missed ever, I think, if I remember rightly. I could be wrong. I'm probably wrong, actually, maybe. I think it was the Royal Rumble 2011, the 40-man one, I think he missed. I'm pretty sure. No, he didn't. No, because I was thinking when Kane was normal Kane, before he put the mask back on. It was after Money the Bank, I think, if I remember rightly. He got injured out, and then he came back at the Slammy Awards and came back with that new Iron Mask, if you remember. In the main event, which was John Cena versus Mark Henry for the WWE Championship, because I was like, oh my God, Mark Henry's going to win, you know, and it was looking really good. And then Kane came out and then disrupted the whole thing, but didn't attack Mark Henry, but he attacked John Cena and gave him that biggest choke slam I think I've ever seen ever. So I loved that. You can imagine back then, because it was Super Cena back then. You think, bloody hell, what's going on? Right. Also, Teddy Long going into the Hall of Fame. Fantastic. Fantastic. Liking that. And it's not just his WWF run, WWE run, as a referee as well, and the SmackDown general manager, but all the stuff that he did in WCW, which, come on, let's face it, iconic. And with Rodney Mack, I want a white boy challenge. And he got that, didn't he? I want a white boy challenge. Oh, dear. So that was all good fun. And also the WWE coming out with their own underwear. Briefs and boxers, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody's tastes is all satisfied here. Oh, wrestling fans in underwear. Lovely. certain ones. Heavy set. Right, so we got so underwear for John Cena, well, in the style of John Cena, Roman Reigns, AJ Styles, I'm quite happy to have that, thank you very much, gorgeous, Dean Ambrose, yes, Randy Savage, Ric Flair, and Stone Cold Steve Austin. But Austin only had black trunks, so you might as well just sort of like buy yourself a pair of black briefs, hey, and then you're Stone Cold Steve Austin. You just need the boots and your knee pads and arm wrists, you know, arm the wristbands and stuff, and go for that. But there you go. And happy birthday to all those superstars, of course. Deary me. Right, so that's all good fun. And do you have any more new stuff, Kieran? Yes, I do. Two big stories here that has broken earlier this week, which is sad. WWE is saddened to learn that WWE Hall of Famer William James Myers, also known to fans as George the Animal Steele, has passed away at age 79. Steele was one of the wildest and most unpredictable superstars in sports entertainment history, yet despite his green tongue, hairy torso, an insustainable appetite for turnbuckle pads, the Animal was a very well-known, very well-educated man. Prior to breaking into sports entertainment, Steele received a master's degree from Central Michigan University and became a high school teacher and wrestling coach in the Detroit area. It was during his teaching stint that he became moonlighting in sports entertainment, working in the Detroit area promotions. Steele's first WWE appearance took place in 1967, when he began a heated rivalry with then WWE champion Bruno Sammartino. For nearly 20 years, Steele was a revealed villain, managed by the likes of fellow WWE Hall of Famers, the Giant Wizard, Classy Freddie Blassie, Captain Lou Albano, and Mr. Fuji. His classic main events against Sammartino, Pedro Morales, and Bob Backlund saw him come close to winning the WWE Championship on many occasions. In 1985, however, Steele was embraced by the WWE Universe and changed the course of his career. After the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkoff abandoned him during a match, Steele fell back under the tutelage of then-beloved Albano. His transformation was remarkable, as one of the most hated men in sports became one of the most lovable figures. Long after his in-ring retirement and WWE Hall of Fame induction, George the Animal Steele, a name still invoked terror for one generation WWE fans and smiles for another. WWE extends its condolences to Steele's family, friends, and fans. Yes, rest in peace, George the Animal Steel. One of my favourite childhood memories as a kid, of course, was when George the Animal Steel, for a few months, was in the Oddities. And that was always a lot of fun and a lot of fun. And I loved the Insane Clown Posse's song then. But then when they went to WCW, I thought, boo you, and I don't like you anymore. But, yeah. So there you go. There you go. But it's quite sad, of course. We wish that, you know, when he passed away, it wasn't too awful. But, yeah, thoughts and prayers out go to his friends, family, and fans, of course. Now, also, according to allwrestling.com, former WWE and ECW talent Nicole Bass passed away at the age of 52. A friend of Nicole's made a Facebook post, and on Nicole's official page earlier noted that she became very sick in the last few days and has been hospitalized. They were told that there was nothing else that could be done for her. But Dave Meltzer reported on F4WOnline.com that Bass, oh my gosh, suffered a massive stroke earlier in the week and never recovered. The former pro bodybuilder began working with ECW in 1998 before debuting as Sable's bodyguard at WrestleMania 15 in 1999. Bass had a few feuds in the WWE before leaving the company after filing a lawsuit claiming that she was sexually assaulted by Steve Brooklyn Brawler Lombardi backstage. The case went to court in 2003 but was dismissed. Bass worked some indies after her WWE run but had been quiet in recent years. Meltzer also noted that she had suffered health problems for the past decade. Yes, Nicole Bass, a incredible figure, to be perfectly honest. I mean, my goodness me. I never forget on Monday Night Raw in particular, the stint that she had after WrestleMania with Sable and being her bodyguard, and Nicole Bass came out to replace Sable to face Deborah evening gown match, and it was one of the most shocking things I think I have ever seen. And I'm going to play a clip for you now.
Evening gown! Woo!
Deborah's on her way to the ring.
Puppies in those pockets! Puppies are next! Puppies! Come here, puppies! And these are the puppies!
Well, in addition, ladies and gentlemen, this evening gown match,
yes!
We are just moments away.
Let me do that.
From the Lumberjack match. The Rock and Stone Cold and the corporate ministry will be the Lumberjacks surrounding the ring here tonight.
Taking her away from the ring. Deborah!
I didn't know you were such a dog lover.
Oh, yeah! Show us those puppies!
What was Pamela Anderson thinking? Tell me!
Eat your heart out, Pamela Anderson! Look at those puppies!
Well, I'll tell you what, this is quite the potential matchup here.
I never
thought I'd ever see Deborah and Sable go one-on-one, but can't say as I'm not looking forward to it.
Much less in an evening gown match. Oh, yes! Here she comes,
God, I
baby.
Love this theme song. So cool.
Shane McMahon, so young, so innocent, and so cute.
What?
Shane, I would love to take you up on your offer tonight, but unfortunately, I'm out here at Hef's Mansion preparing for my second Playboy shoot.
She's at Hef's Mansion again!
But Miss Deborah, don't be disappointed. Like all Hollywood divas, Sable has a stunt double who will be filling in for me tonight.
What?
Do you really think I would risk bruising this body? Oh, and by the way, Deborah, be careful. Don't rip your dress.
Ooh, I can't wait to see the stunt double.
Who's that?
Sable's got a stunt double. Yahoo! All right.
I can't wait to see her.
Oh, see the
oh my gosh. That stunt double, I don't think so.
Yikes!
That's a 6'3", 240-pound bodyguard. That's Nicole Bash. That's Sable's bodyguard. And Deborah looks like she's just seen a monster. And by the way, she has.
Nicole Bash!
I want to see puppies and we get a dog! I didn't say that, Nicole. That was a king. The Teflon king. And Nicole Bass in the...
So good back then.
Deborah says, hey, wait a minute.
What? She really don't look that bad. I mean,
she's the world's largest female bodybuilder. And I don't know that Deborah wants to endure the beating at the hands of Nicole Bass. Who would?
Wow. I'm happy. This match ain't going to last long, Deborah. You're going
to... I think Deborah made this perfect. Deborah,
Deborah's just stripped herself off, so she's
That's
lost.
Like going into town. She threw off the dress.
Woo-hoo! So Nicole Bass has won the match.
Woo-hoo! Oh, yes! Yes!
But she's parading.
Wait a minute. Nicole Bass has... She's got... Nicole's got Deborah by the
monster.
And there's Jeff
with
Jarrett.
The guitar.
Oh, man.
Right over the head.
Jeff Jarrett coming to Deborah's aid. Paid right here, right now. So the debts are even, maybe. I don't know.
Where's Valmonte? What is he doing?
Well, we always thought that Denver might be smitten with the big Valmoski.
I think it's the other way around.
Well, they're mutually smitten, I reckon.
So Val's carrying Deborah.
So there's no telling where Val and Deborah are headed. Well, I don't know, winner or loser. It's hard to pick the winners. And look at this. Watch it. Or Jeff Jarrett coming after Deborah.
My goodness me. What a moment in Raw history. Poor Nicole Bass getting hit over the head with a guitar. Deary me. Jeff was so evil back then, wasn't he? Made me really want to sort of like go down and, you know, almost feel like want to scream out and shoot him. Terrible. What a heel, man. What a heel he was. Certainly was back then. Right. It's time for us to take a look at the WWE Elimination Chamber 2017.
This is Europe's number one professional wrestler, Gredo. It's yourself. Look, if you're down, if you feel like shit, I'm telling you, what you need to do is listen to the European Uppercut Podcast. That's right, the European Uppercut Podcast. I'll say it 3 times, the European Uppercut Podcast. It's the best podcast in the world, apart from The Art of Wrestling, Stone Cold's, JR's, Chris Jericho's, but it's definitely better than Bauer and Pollock.
Yes, there we go. Thank you, Gredo. Lovely to hear from you. Right, yes, time for WWE Elimination Chamber 2017. Or in Germany, they call it No Escape 2017. Awkward. Yes, it goes back to World War II days, and you know why. Yes. So, obviously, pay-per-view on the WWE Network SmackDown brand. It took place on the 12th of February at the Talking Stick Resort Arena. Catchy name. In Phoenix, Arizona. And it was the 7th event under the Elimination Chamber chronologically. The first to be held since 2015. And the first to have 3 women's matches. Yes. Righty-ho. So now let's take a look at the picks and how everybody is standing at the moment, mesdames and messieurs. Right, so first up, we have Nikki Bella versus Natalia. And, oh dear, let me just double check what I have here. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. Nobody did any picks for the pre-show because nobody knew what was going on in the pre-show. But basically, Mojo Rawley defeated Kurt Hawkins in 8 minutes. There you go. Nothing really exciting. Right, so the first match of the night was Becky Lynch facing Mickie James in a singles match. pretty good match, actually. Mickey James has been doing stellar work, I think, ever since she's come back to the main roster of WWE. She was awesome in NXT with her match against Asuka, but, you know, it's not on the SmackDown brand, of course. But still, she's been doing some wonderful work. So, let's have a look at the picks here. Okay, so people who went for Mickey James are Heavyset, Katie, Biohazard, Mop, Kai, Adam, Kiwi, and Holmar. But DRG +5 on Lynch, +5 for Old School. Carp got Lynch. Legend got Lynch +2. GBL got Lynch. And also did PK. So well done, boys. Nice one there. Okay, the next matchup was Kalisto and Apollo Crews facing Dolph Ziggler. Now, I think the booking for this was horrible, as we alluded to earlier with GBL's email. And it's just two faces against a heel. It sounds so wrong. So wrong. Even if Ziggler's like the most evil heel, it makes no sense. It's like when back in the day Triple H would face tag teams and destroy them, like the Hardys or the Dudley Boys or Edge and Christian or something, when they were faces. I just think it's all kinds of wrong, personally, to me. And I don't know. Well, if Kalisto and Apollo obviously won here, but at the end of it, obviously Dolph Ziggler attacked Apollo Crews with a steel chair and went loopy, basically. But I just hope that something comes out of it. Ziggler's theme music, I think, first off, needs to change. And it's too facey of an entrance. I think there's a lot of things wrong here. But again, I don't want to dwell on the negatives too much, so. But I apologise if I do go on and rock on, because I haven't got anybody else here to stop me, really. Or swing it over to somebody. But, right, who picked Ziggler? Heavyset, Katie, Mop, Legend, GBL, Kai, Adam, Ziggler. So, and who picked Cruz and Kalisto? Biohazard, DRG, Old School, Carp, myself, and Holmar. So well done to us. Yay. Okay. All right, the next match was the tag team turmoil match for the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championship. American Alpha, the champions, managed to win won by last eliminating the Ascension, who had actually a good run. And obviously Victor got the win on SmackDown previously. So you're like, ooh, the Ascension could look like they might win. And I think it's their first win since leaving NXT. Except for Jobbers, but didn't see that coming, did we? No. So also in that tag team turmoil match, we had the Usos, as I say, the Ascension, the American Alpha, Slater and Rhino, the Vaudevillains, and Breezango. I want to shame the Vaudevillains, eh? Dear me. Well, honestly, everybody across the board picked American Alpha except for DRG, who picked the Ascension. Well, there you go. Which is fair enough. But everybody else picked American Alpha for +5s, for Biohazard, Carp, Legend, Kiwi, me, yay, PK, and Holmar. But with just regular points there is Heavyset, Katie, Mop, Old School, GBL, Kai, Adam. So, well done. DRG was the only one who got it wrong. What a shame. You're usually a bit more cleverer than that, DRG. Never mind. Right. Nikki Bella and Natalya wrestled to a double count out. What a bloody shame. Now, these two, I don't get it. What's going on here? They've been, via satellite one another. They've attacked one another from behind. You would think they'll come all guns blazing And even if it did go to double count, I wouldn't mind at all. But as long as they were really going after one another, and there was a lot of anger, but there wasn't. There was more chain wrestling. And Natalya and Nikki can obviously wrestle a decent match, but I thought the whole ethics behind the match was all kinds of wrong. So, yeah, I wasn't best pleased with that. But obviously, everybody loses because it was a double count out. So, all reds across the board. What a bloody shame. Never mind. The next match was Randy Orton facing Luke Harper in what seemed to be a bit of a slow match, but towards the end it gets really good. And obviously the pair of these guys, brilliant in-ring work. And everybody wins because everybody said Orton. But we have plus fives for Heavy Set, Katie, Biohazard, DRG, Old School, Carp, Legend with a plus four, Orton plus five, for GBL, Kai, Adam, myself, PK, and Holmar. Okay. Righty-ho. The next one, it was Naomi becoming the WWE SmackDown Women's Champion by defeating Alexa Bliss in 8 minutes 20. Now, that split-legged moonsault at the end was a bit botched, wasn't it, really? It was a bit. And poor old Alexa looked like she got, you know, castrated. My God, she was like destroyed by Naomi's knees. Dearie me, my goodness me, it was okay. And I'm so glad for Naomi. She's been putting in some good work over the last few months. And the last couple of years, got to give it to her. She's got a fantastic persona now. Great character, great entrance, great music, and it works for her. And though what I don't like on social media, I know it's all over Total Divas, etc., but having Uso number two and Naomi as a married couple embracing and winning congratulations and all that type of stuff, I think that's wrong. I think that's really wrong. So yes, I wasn't best impressed with that, but it was, you know, it's niggly bits really. So here we go, who picked Bliss? Right, Katie with a plus five, Biohazard with a plus five, Mop just hit Bliss. Also, her Old School plus five for Bliss. Also, plus five for Bliss is Carp, Legend with plus three, GBL plus five, Kai with plus five, Adam with a plus five, PK with a plus three, and Hallmark just hit Bliss. But no, Naomi became champion. And who picked Naomi? It was Heavy Set, DRG, and myself. Yes! But I didn't put plus five, a pair of us. Basically, because I didn't think it was a sure thing. But very good, nonetheless, indeed. So, let's move on to the main event. The Elimination Chamber match for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Or it's WWE Championship now, isn't it? So you had John Cena, the current champion, facing AJ Styles, Bray Wyatt, Baron Corbin, The Miz, Dean Ambrose. And at the end, Bray Wyatt won the match. Incredible moment. The crowd went ape crazy, didn't it? And I loved the finish. Having Bray and AJ at the end, knowing that we were going to get a brand new WWE champion after Bray gave Sister Abigail to Cena, was a brilliant moment and got the crowd really excited for the final two. So great booking there, WWE. I did think that Baron Corbin looked a bit crack coming out of this with Dean Ambrose with a roll up on Baron Corbin. I think that was all kinds of wrong because Baron came in and just destroyed everybody and then got rolled up and that was it. So I don't know, that was, I don't think that was protecting Baron. I think it just made him look a little bit like a chump, to be probably honest. But there you go. But The Miz was awesome in there, coming, you know, hiding away in his pod even though it was his time to come out, and then pinned Dean Ambrose when he was out, and it was a great move. Great. Cena getting the attitude adjustment on The Miz, eliminating The Miz. Bray Wyatt putting the Sister Abigail on Cena and getting the three count. And then in the end, Bray Wyatt with Sister Abigail to AJ Styles. And AJ sold it like the queen. Oh, Amazing, amazing stuff. So really chuffed with that. So Bray Wyatt is the brand new WWE champion and going into WrestleMania 33 in Orlando, Florida, as the WWE champion. And wow, pretty good stuff. Now, everybody picked Wyatt across the board except for DRG, who went with The Miz. Now, I could understand it. And as I said to Kai last week, I could completely understand if The Miz actually wins the championship, because he's been booked so heavy. They took the IC title off of him, and it just... it sort of like says everything that, you know, the Miz could be going forth with that and maybe facing Cena at WrestleMania. I think they will face each other at WrestleMania. But by the looks of it, it looks like it's going to be a mixed tag match with Nikki and John Cena versus Maurice and The Miz. You wait. So we have plus fives for Wyatt winning from Heavyset, Katie, and Adam. Congratulations. Well done, well done, well done, well done. So, I'm pretty chuffed with all of this. This is good work here, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. And so, let's take a look and see who won out of Elimination Chamber. Well, total points, Adam got the best, 13. Well done, Mr. Pearson, our local celebrity here at the European Uppercut. Really appreciate it. Well done. There you go, Adam. That's a slap on my thigh. That was just for you. Okay. So PK got 11 points. Well done, Paul. Nice one. Thank you very much. Right. Also, we have 10 points for Kiwi. Yay. For me. Also, Carp and Mr. Old School. Then we go down to 9 points. We've got 9 points for Holmar, and also for Biohazard and Heavyset. Then we go down to 8 points. 8 points for Katie. Yes. And then 7 points for the Living Legend. Terrible, man. Akai gets -2. I don't know how that's the case, but yes, Kai had a terrible night. Mop got 3 as well. GBL gets 4 points, and we go on from there. So the current standing, according to the Google sheet, I hope this is correct, so I apologize if it's not correct, but the WrestleCast is still in the lead with 1,325 points, where the European Uppercut has 1,263. Yes, so we're not too far behind. By much as 60 odd points, isn't it? So yes, around that. I can't do math. Right, so very good stuff, guys and gals. Loved it, loved it, loved it. And I hope you enjoy that little recap with me. I hope so. Anyways, you haven't got much choice, have you, really? But that is your quick recap and the standings of the European Uppercut and the WrestleCast here on the Trending Topics Network after Elimination Chamber 2017.
This is the Beast of Belfast, Big Demo, and you're listening to the European Uppercut Podcast.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. NXT. Lovely to hear from you. Big Demo, now part of Sanity. Incredible. Now, I've totally forgotten his new character name, but yeah. My bad is my bad. I apologize. Yes, now time for our final thoughts and quick roundup of things here. Obviously, just me rambling, but most of all, we've got to go on about this. Monday Night Raw in particular, because I think it's probably one of the biggest and best Monday Night Raws I've seen in quite a while. Deary me, deary me. So, Monday Night Raw opens with a graphic for Chavo Guerrero Sr. And they're live in Las Vegas, Nevada, as Michael Cole and Byron Saxon and Corey Graves are there. And we start off with Roman Reigns versus Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson. I was about to say Luke Harper, but that is incredibly wrong. Yeah, I wasn't too sure on Roman Reigns facing Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson because they're the tag team champions, you know? Don't ruin them by having Reigns facing the best tag team in the, on Raw. But thankfully, you know, the wonderful Reigns basically got himself disqualified. Well, Gallows attacked from behind, and then it just went crazy because they both started facing each other. But as I scroll through, basically the other hilarious thing I think is the Emelina finally premieres and says, comes back and it's Emelina, and then we go back. She said she's waited 17 weeks for the makeover for Emma to Emelina. Oh, well, the WWE Universe has. But now we've seen the makeover of Emelina to Emma, and then she walks back, and then fans boo, which I think is absolutely hilarious. I think it was really well played, and they're trolling the fans, you know, not purposely there, but hilariously. So that really worked. Mark Henry versus Braun Strowman. Quite good match, actually. Braun Strowman did a drop kick. Oh, my God. Really quite incredible. And giving Mark Henry a running power slam. Amazing. Amazing. Love that. But love that graphic. It just makes Strowman look awesome. Awesome. And I hope he beats Roman at Fastlane by the looks of it. Samoa Joe boasts about re-injuring Seth Rollins. But Samoa Joe looks a beast. Amazing. They're so booking him really well. And Joe says he's here to hurt people, and the only person in opinion he cares about is Triple H's. And Cole asked why he thinks Triple H chose this moment to take Joe from NXT to Raw. And Joe just says his results speak for themselves. And Cole says that people think that Joe is here because of Triple H is scared of Seth Rollins. But Joe goes on about what he's done and how no one else coming out of NXT has been like him. Joe just says he's wrecked havoc for 18 years, but the WWE were too scared to hire him. I love it. And then Cole brought up analogies of brings up guys in the past like Batista, Rollins, Randy Orton and Shawn Michaels that Triple H had a relationship with them, and then the relationships go sour. But Joe says that the differences between him and those superstars is that they need a Triple H to prop them up and get the job done. Minus Shawn Michaels, I think. Joe says he's not for them. He doesn't need Triple H's help, but he comes in and gets the job done all on his own. And finally, Triple H has someone he can rely on because Joe knows what's best for business. Joe says if anyone gets in his way, they'll find out why the creator unleashed the destroyer, and walks off. Sami Zayn gets a big strong victory over Rusev, which Rusev is just nothing now. When was the last time you saw the accolade? I can't remember the last time we did. Akira Tozawa beats Daivari in an amazing match. I love that snap suplex. And the moment of Monday Night Raw, incredible. The Festival of Friendship with Jericho, where finally, in the end, Kevin Owens turns his back on Chris Jericho. Now, there is no description that I could give you about this segment that will give it any justice. But if you've not seen this, you must see it as a matter of urgency. You must see it as a matter of urgency, promise you. Gilbert makes his return, and Kevin Owens destroys Dwayne Gilbert. Remember back then, in 1998. Wonderful stuff. And obviously, Kevin Owens attacks Chris Jericho at the end and throwing his face into a screen. A la Chris Jericho to Shawn Michaels, almost. If you remember back then, yeah. Amazing stuff. Oh, the crowd's gasp. It was probably one of the best heel into face turns, I think, that we are going to see in quite a while. And I thought this thing between Jericho and Owens had legs. But, you know, it makes you think now of the booking towards Fastlane. As now, we've got the WWE Universal Championship match going on now between Goldberg and Kevin Owens. What is going to happen out of this? Is it going to be as simple as Goldberg just steamroll through Kevin Owens? Does Jericho come out and help Owens? And it's all been a ruse, even though I don't see that happening at all now, obviously with what's happened. Or does Chris Jericho help Goldberg win the championship? Who knows? Who knows? But as I said last week, I think I've mentioned it, but I certainly thought about it over the week too, that if Goldberg wins the championship, he will lose it to Lesnar at WrestleMania. And then I think after WrestleMania, Finn Balor will come back and challenge Lesnar for the title. That's what I think. Anyway, see what you guys think. But that was just an amazing segment there with Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens as the Festival of Friendship. Enzo faces Cesaro. Cesaro wins, and Enzo and Cass are just nothing, aren't they? They're just absolutely nothing. They're really coasting at the moment. And to finish off Monday Night Raw, the Women's Championship match between Bayley and Charlotte. Fantastic stuff here. Bayley becomes the new women's champion with help with Sasha Banks. So Sasha runs down and breaks the crutch over Dana's back. And then she nails Charlotte. And the hold is broken out of the figure eight. And then Bayley hits the Bayley to belly for the win. And I don't think Bayley saw that Sasha helped her. So maybe that could be a thing going on towards Monday Night Raw. What do you think, guys and gals? It'd be great to hear from you, of course. You can email us, and our email address is eurouppercut@gmail.com. Eurouppercut@gmail.com. And you can also tweet us at the EU pod. At the EU pod. Okay, guys and gals, and it will be wonderful to hear from you. I hope I have done this episode justice for you. I really, really do. And we hope to hear from you again very, very soon. Remember, you can check out my Twitter handle. You can get in contact with us via Twitter, Twitter, at KiwiTuts, KIWITUTTS. Also, you can also check out my Eurovision showcase shows here on the Trending Topics Network, also on the Tuts Network. Just search for it and you'll find it there. You could download it here on iTunes, podcasts, Podbean, etc., etc. Just search for the Eurovision showcase or listen live on Forest FM, forestfm.co.uk, and it'd be great to hear from you.
Hey, you're listening to Robbie X. Make sure you check out European Uppercut Podcast. Robbie X.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling.
Yeah. Right, time for us to go, guys and gals. See you next week here on the European Uppercut Podcast. Alvijetu, au revoir, Harvey Dessain, and have a nice day.